Let me ask you a question this morning. Today is April the 9th, 1992, and in a few days, April the 5th, 1992, and in a few days on April the 9th, we have a general election. Who's going to win? You're sitting there thinking, but you told us you weren't going to discuss politics at all. And you weren't going to tell us who to vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm not discussing politics. I'm asking the question, who's going to win? Yesterday morning, lots of people were saying, who's going to win the boat race? Who's going to win the Grand National? If only we knew the answer to those questions, we could rush off down to the betting shop and we could put some money on and we could earn a lot of money. It will be very interesting this afternoon to see whether or not Sunderland win their FA Cup semi-final against Norwich. Because yesterday, at about 1:30 on the television, the Saint and Greavesy show, one Jim Rosenthal was in a betting shop and laid a bet on behalf of Jimmy Greaves. And it was a combined bet that a certain horse, whose name at the moment escapes me, would win party politics, thank you. The party politics would win the Grand National, that Oxford would win the boat race, and that Sunderland would win this afternoon. And at odds of 500 to 1, with £5 put on it, he stood to make quite a sum of money. If he wins, well, that's going to go to charity. I'm not condoning gambling, but merely it's interesting that people, by and large, are very interested indeed in discovering the future and what is going to happen. People are also very interested in knowing what has happened to their loved ones who have died. They want to know where they've gone and how they are. And there have been many famous examples in history of people wanting to contact their relatives in order to discover how they are, how it is with them, and what ultimately is going to happen to them. All this comes together in our subject for this morning as we continue to look at the subject of the cults. We come today to consider the subject of Spiritism, also known as the occult. This is relevant to the present issues that I've mentioned, because this is how some people will be seeking to discover what is going to happen in order that they might win vast sums of money. Now, we've looked so far in this series at our general approach towards the cults. It's not one where we're mocking them and saying, you believe that? You silly twits. That's not the attitude we're taking. We're concerned for truth, and we are concerned for the souls of men, our own souls, and the souls of those people who are caught up in these things. And all these things that we're looking at have to be tested by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. This is the truth that God has given us. And what this says is true, is true. And what this says is false, is false. And so we bring everything to the touchstone of the Scriptures to determine whether or not these things are true. So we're looking today at Spiritism, or the occult. The occult is a word which means hidden, and it refers to everything that is connected with what is unseen. The spirit world, the supernatural. In our day, we live in a time when there is increased interest in the subject, and many people have questions about it. We find that there are people who are claiming to be mediums who can contact the dead. And these people claim that if you have a loved one, you can contact that loved one and find out how they are. and also through contact with the spirit world, either through mediums, through crystal balls, through tarot cards, through horoscopes, through the reading of tea leaves, through Ouija boards, and all other things that are connected with them, you can discover how people are, and you can also discover the future. Now, when did these things begin? We cannot say. They are lost in the dark mists of time. It is quite probable, however, that the Tower of Babel that we read about in Genesis 11 was an early attempt at astrology, horoscopes, seeking to determine the future on the basis of the location of the stars. How many of you know your own personal star sign? How many of you, when you open the newspaper, immediately turn to the horoscope to try and discover what the stars have for you today? Quite possible the Tower of Babel was an early attempt at astrology and trying to determine the future on the basis of the stars. You might say, well, that's ridiculous, it's stupid, it has no relevance to me at all. Let me tell you, the issue of horoscopes alone is worthy of consideration, because one of the former leaders of the Western world, the leader of the most powerful nation in the world, had recourse to an astrologer to determine his policy, foreign and domestic. I'm referring, of course, to Ronald Reagan. They had a resident astrologer to help them determine what they should do. So this is of relevance to all of us. Does Neil Kinnock have an astrologer? Does Paddy Ashdown have an astrologer? Does John Major have one? Ronald Reagan has one. Well, we shouldn't be surprised if many of the other leaders in the world have one. All these things, to varying degrees, are followed by people in all the nations of the world. All of them are extremely popular today. I wonder how many of you watched the James Bond film last night. You would have seen an example of tarot cards in that, in which the woman, the reader, solitaire, would lay out cards on the table and on the basis of those cards would make predictions about the future. Very popular. That's why it was in the film. People are interested in it. You can go to a shop in Wrexham and you can buy tarot cards and many, many other occult paraphernalia, because people are interested in making contact with the spirit world. So what are the basic teachings with regard to the occult? Well, they are many and varied. It is a very broad spectrum. But let me summarize for you the key elements. Firstly, that there is a spirit world which can be contacted. And this spirit world is where people go when they die. There is no hell, so all is quite joyful and happy. You will have heard of people who have had so-called after-death experiences. People who have supposedly died upon the operating table. And they have been floating above their bodies and have been able to look down and see the attempts at resuscitation. They have then gone off down a long tunnel, a long bright tunnel, and they've come to a place of light and brightness where they have met loved ones. And they have conversed with them before returning again. There are many people who say that this has happened. However, to describe them as after-death experiences is not quite accurate, because the people haven't died. If they had died, they wouldn't be with us now. In a book by a Christian on the subject, he would say, I will believe these people died after the body has been left for 3 days and has begun to rot. So they haven't died. They have just given the appearance of death. Also, it's interesting to note that if you're a good Hindu, you can reproduce such experiences at will. Don't need to be on an operating table. You can just sit down, cross your legs, close your eyes, and purely at your own choice, you can make the same thing happen. They teach that Jesus was a medium. And as an example of that, they would refer you to the Gospels, to Matthew chapter 17. They'll say, well, there you are. Here is an example of Jesus being a medium. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. There you are, Jesus was a medium. Isn't that what it says? He brought them up. It doesn't say that at all. It says they were there. It doesn't say that Jesus brought them up. And when we read elsewhere that Jesus believed wholeheartedly everything that the Old Testament says, the Old Testament prohibits such things, then we cannot believe that Jesus was doing what God, what he, had forbidden in the Old Testament. I would refer you to 1 Samuel chapter 28 and the medium there, who brought up Samuel. Again, we cannot accept their explanation for this chapter, because God does not contradict himself. And we shall see shortly other explanations for this. The attempts of Spiritism is twofold: to contact the dead and to discover the future. We could perhaps take another step forward and speak also about Satanism, which wholeheartedly not only embraces Spiritism, but also says that Satan is God and they worship him. There are such people in this world, there are such people in this country. And when you hear many of the reports about satanic abuse, then you believe them. They are true. A friend of mine has met someone who used to be a Satanist, and they say all the things that you read are true, because she used to participate in them. She has now been converted and become a Christian and has been delivered from all that. But I'm not going to go into any details on that today. The result of all these things, the attempt that they're making, is to lull people into a false sense of security. What they're saying is, you can find out what's going to happen in the future and be comforted. You can find out what's happened to your loved ones and be comforted by that. You discover from contact with the dead that there's no hell, there's nothing to fear, carry on as you are, you'll be all right in the end. They teach that the world is under the control of external forces, the stars. And so the position of Jupiter or Venus, the position in relation to the Crab Nebula or the Horsehead Nebula, or Orion, and all the other constellations, they all affect what happens here on Earth. Now, if you have any shred of rationality about you, then you would know that that is a lot of poppycock. But people believe it. And it shows what happens when people reject the knowledge of God. People, when they stop believing in God, don't believe in nothing. They will believe in anything. That's why people believe this. Why people believe in horoscopes. Why people believe in mediums. Because they don't believe in God. They want to believe in anything else except believing in God. There are great dangers in Spiritism, in all its forms. We should approach it with extreme caution, because it is in fact contact with demons. Let me read some scriptures to you. In Leviticus chapter 19, we'll be doing Leviticus chapter 19 in the next few weeks. We've nearly got to it in our studies in Leviticus. But in Leviticus 19, there is a prohibition upon mediums and familiar spirits. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them, to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. They are prohibited. The next chapter, chapter 20 in verse 6. And the person who turns after mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from my people. Verse 27 of the same chapter. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has a familiar spirit shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. It's a serious business. God forbids it. God says you shall have nothing to do with them because of the great danger that these people present. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And verse 10. When you come into the land, this is verse 9, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations, which you will dispossess, listened to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Turn over a few chapters to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, which is very instructive for us about the attitude we should have. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, that which is going to happen in the future. But those things which are revealed, the scriptures, belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. We are not to seek out the hidden things, because the hidden things are God's. God will reveal the hidden things, if he so chooses, in his own time. If you want to discover the results of the football matches this afternoon, then you'll have to wait until they've been finished. Then you'll find out what the results are. If you want to find out the results now, then you will be disobeying God. You will be practicing the abominations that God condemns. And you will be demonstrating a wicked attitude in your heart against God. Look what happened to Saul. Saul sought out a medium in order to find out what was going to happen. He didn't like what he heard. Mind you, neither did the medium. The medium got a shock. She was frightened, because instead of what she expected and what she had previously experienced in calling up demons, this time she actually did manage to make contact with a real dead person, Samuel. It wasn't in the slightest bit what she'd expected. God stepped in, and God used this means to speak to Saul of his condemnation. We are to avoid these things like the plague. I was once doing some evangelism at Leeds University. And I knocked on a door, and when the door was opened, there was a group of students huddled around a board with some letters on and a glass. And all got their fingers on the glass. And they were trying to find out various things from the spirits. And when I saw this, I said, "This is dangerous. I warn you now to stop. You are dabbling with demons." And the person that answered the door took me outside and closed the door and said, "It's all right. Don't worry. I'm a Christian." And I thought, do you realize what you're doing? And what he was saying is this. Here I am, standing on the edge of a volcano that's in the midst of an eruption, about to jump in, and you're standing there saying, don't jump, don't jump. You'll be consumed in the lava. Don't worry, I'm wearing an asbestos suit. Stupid. Or the man who's about to drink some poison and says, it's all right, I've got a bottle of milk of magnesia here, that'll see me all right afterwards. And we would say that such people are stupid. They're daft. Their brains must have gone for a walk. That's what this lad was saying. His brain must have gone for a walk. It's all right, I'm a Christian. It's not all right. God's condemned it because it's contact with demons. Listen to the word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul warns about such things. Speaking about the danger of people that claim to be apostles but are not, verse 13. For such people, as were coming along and making proud boasts, are deceitful workers, false apostles, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. This is a warning not just that we are playing with demons, but it's a warning also not just to believe someone because he perhaps wears a dog collar, perhaps calls himself reverend, perhaps stands in a pulpit and even opens the Bible. Because they can, not that they are, they can be false workmen. They can be led by demons. Listen also to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, where he's talking about whether or not it's okay to be involved with pagan sacrifices. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, concerning this, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. All these things of which we're speaking today are demonic. They are dangerous. We need to beware of them. We need to avoid them. That's the reason why when you hear about mediums who claim to make contact with the dead and are exactly accurate in what they say, that explains their accuracy. Demons. So when you hear of someone that goes along to a seance and the medium says, there is somebody here. It's the mother of someone, the uncle of someone. And someone says, oh, that must be Uncle Joe. And you want to be convinced it's Uncle Joe, right? Well, Uncle Joe did this and Uncle Joe said that. And if you go and look in this particular place in the house, you'll find where Uncle Joe left the other. And you go off and there it is. And you're convinced it's true. No, it's not. It wasn't Uncle Joe speaking. It's a demon who knows all these things. Dangerous. And I perhaps add in here hypnosis. Hypnosis also puts you in danger of becoming possessed by demons. Perhaps some of you have heard of a man called Bloxham. He's a hypnotist in Cardiff. And he has hypnotized numerous people. And he has said, right now, I want you to take you back to the early part of your life. I want to take you back to your infancy. I want to take you back to your birth. I want to take you back before your birth. It's what they call regression. And he claims that he's taken people back to previous lives. This is often given as evidence of reincarnation. And there's been an example of a woman who was on his couch under hypnosis who supposedly went back to a former life when she was a Jew in York in, I believe it was, the 13th or 14th century. And she was taken back to a time when the locals in York took all the people off, chased all the Jews into this building, and they set fire to the building. And some of the Jews found refuge down in the cellar, through a slab in the floor. There's no slab there, there's no entrance down in the cellar, there isn't a cellar. And someone went there and said, oh look, what's this ring? There's so much muck here over the centuries, we've never seen that before. They opened up, there was a cellar. Wow, well, this must be true then, mustn't it? Not at all. It was demons taking over that woman and speaking what they knew and deceiving. Demons love to deceive. They deceive through mediums. They deceive through horoscopes. They deceive through hypnosis. Beware of all these things. These things are a danger. And I would keep you from them. Be warned. Warn other people. It is not possible to contact the dead. Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ said about a man who hoped that there might be some contact between the living and the dead. In Luke chapter 16 we read about a rich man and Lazarus, and when they died, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, but the rich man went to Hades, awaiting the judgment, and there in torment, he asked that there might be some comfort given to him. And Abraham responds, verse 25, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham doesn't say, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. There's no contact between the living and the dead. There is only one life. Hebrews 9:27 makes that very clear. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. Don't be deceived by people that claim to be mediums, spiritualists. Even if they claim to be Christian spiritualists, there is no such thing. These are dishonest people that would deceive you. We are fighting a spiritual battle. Read about it in Ephesians 6. The devil's trying to get us. The devil's trying to undermine us. The devil's trying to lead us astray along with the rest of the world. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to put on spiritual armor and take about ourselves spiritual weaponry. We need to put on faith and love the Word of God. How do we apply some of these things? There is much else that we could look at. Much of it would depress you. Anything that has even the hint of astrology, spiritism, and any of these other things, avoid them. They're evil. The devil wants you to fall into the trap of one of two extremes. He either wants you to completely dismiss him and say, you're talking about demons? Oh, that's all fairy stories. You're in a time warp. You're trapped in the 17th century. I'm sure if you found someone you thought was a witch, you'd want to burn them, wouldn't you? Well, no, I wouldn't. No good getting round the truth of the scriptures by bringing up caricatures. The devil wants you not to believe in him, because then he's got a field day with you, and he can lead you by the nose wherever he wants you to go. You're totally unaware. The other thing Satan wants is for you to believe in him totally, and to be so wrapped up in him and think that everything he does controls the world. And then he can control you. We mustn't fall into that trap. We must look at ourselves and say, well, have we been partakers in any of these practices? Have we ever read our horoscopes? Have we ever read tea leaves? Have we ever done any of these things? If so, then we must repent. It is an abomination to God, a stench in his nostril. If we continue now to do these things in the light of this morning's message, then the only conclusion that can be drawn is that you must be unconverted. Because how else could you despise God so much as to continue in your abominable practices after what you've heard today? The devil tries to dull the brain. He does it in many ways. He can do it through hypnosis, gives him a field day with you. He can do it with drugs. He can also do it through certain kinds of music. You go to some places where spiritism is encouraged, certain nations, certain countries in the world, and there is a certain kind of insidious music that gets into the brain, that dulls the brain. It's interesting that that music is very prevalent in our society. And in certain parts of the professing church, it's also prevalent. We must be wary of anything that causes our brains to switch off. Avoid these things. Avoid all false religions. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, such religions are demon worship. Have nothing to do with them. But do not live in fear and dread of the devil. The devil wants that. Do not live in fear and dread of him. Rather, fear God. That's who you should fear. That's what Jesus tells us. Fear him who can cast both soul and body into hell. That's what Matthew 10:28. If you're a believer, remember also, 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, has defeated the devil. He has conquered sin and death and hell. And the devil's fate is sealed. That's why he is now trying to take as many with him as he can possibly can. We find that God has, on occasion, revealed the future. And he's revealed it here with regard to the devil's future. In Revelation chapter 20, we read about the future of the devil. And in chapter 10 it says, "And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Please notice, not the devil is ruling in hell. The devil is being punished in hell forever and ever. Don't be deceived by that either. People say it's better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. There's only one person that rules in hell, and that is God. Because he rules everywhere. The devil is punished by God in hell. Don't ever forget that. The devil's fate is sealed. It is certain. He is finished. And do not surrender to him in any means or form. The Lord Jesus Christ is the conquering King of all. The question we need to ask now, is he your King? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Because only he can preserve you from the fate of the devil. Let us remember that as we come now to partake of the Lord's Supper. To remember what Jesus Christ has done. To remember that in his death, he has defeated this evil enemy. And if he is our Savior, then we can have no fear of the devil or of the future, because greater is the one who is in us than the one who is in the world.